Welcome back to The Comixologist, coming to you not live from New York City at Slim and Kazam.
What a jam-packed show we have today, Kara Kazam.
Absolutely, Slim Matt.
This is the biggest Comixology podcast in history. You know, you won't find another one where we talk about the books that we read this week, and then we try to get each other to read them, and by all accounts, you, dear friend of the show, to listen. I mean, to read. Not listen. You're already listening. So we already have you.
Comics are awesome, and we love sharing our love of them with all of you.
Fact. A lot of response. I think last week's episode was one of the biggest ones we've ever done, and I think it was because I hacked SEO by including Harry Potter's name in the episode title.
Well, to be fair, we spoke about that franchise at length last time.
It's like 98% of last week's episode was Harry Potter talk.
I'm cool with that. I spent all of our amping up for the show when we get in our little huddle and we start with just like our four hands and just go team and then do the break motion, just the two of us, just talking about Harry Potter and how tomorrow is the start of term at Hogwarts and how everyone should be excited for that. But we won't do that again this week because we know not all of you are here for my undying love of the Potter franchise.
And so
we'll talk about comics. Well, there were many, many exceptional comics that came out this week.
Thanks for pointing that out, first of all, Kara. You're always on point with that. Let's talk about the books that came out today. Saga gets the big art brick this week on our website and in the apps. It looks like some kind of war is happening. Some kind of war.
A war is always happening in Saga. The whole point of Saga is that there is an intergalactic war going on for generations and no one remembers why.
You know,
have you read this series? I know you've read this.
I'm not up to date on what's happening in Saga.
This is starting from the first issue, Matt.
Listen, that was a long time ago. I feel like issue one came out 10 years ago.
Four.
You know, who knows what number they're on?
5 years ago?
Half a decade? My gosh.
5 years
ago? Has it been that long? Get out of here.
Well, because I started working here about 4 years ago, and they were already on issue like five of Saga by that point.
Hmm. All right.
Something like that. We'll have to look it up.
Irregardless, we need to move on. Han Solo, your boy. Issue 3 of 5 is out today. Gotham Academy, number one.
The annual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few annuals out today. DC Bombshells.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new Ninja Turtles series out. You know what this is about? Ninja Turtles universe?
No, but it looks exciting.
It does look exciting.
In fact, I will download it right now.
Witchfinder, City of the Dead, which is what I read this week. Suicide Squad, War Games. New James Bond, Archie.
Da, 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 da. Not just any Archie, Afterlife with Archie.
It looks ominous, the cover.
Hands down, one of the best comics on the market today.
Some kind of Chitara character playing guitar on the cover.
Have you not seen Josie and the Pussycats? Wait a minute. Have you not seen the Josie and the Pussycats movie? Because I definitely had a movie night at work for that.
I don't think I was there for that movie night. I might have slipped out the back door while you were queuing up that movie.
Oh, man. Oh, man. It's like everything about 2001 that you never want to forget, but probably should, encapsulated in one glorious, hilarious, satirical commentary on the nature of corporations in America.
Wow.
While also about friendship and pop.
I do love friendship. Mm-hmm. Pop's pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Killer Inside Me from IDW by that popular movie critic, Devin Faraci. I don't know if I pronounced it. I probably just butchered his entire name, so I apologize in advance. Amazing Spider-Man, Rick and Morty, Atomic Robo. New issue is out. And let's see. Shaolin Cowboy, the first issue from way back, is out in single form. And X-Files Origins. What about you, Kara Kazam? What did you read this week?
I read a book that just... You know when you read a story or you watch a movie or you hear a song and it just makes you feel melancholy, but not in a way that makes you sad, in like a cathartic way that almost makes you feel like you're discovering more about your own emotional state as a human being?
Mm, don't I? Oh my God, yes.
uh, that's what I got from reading Heaven All Day. Mm. Now Today, by creator John Martz. And there's no dialogue in this.
Love
this story.
It already. Love
no
it.
Dialogue. And it's not long. It's only like 30 pages. And you're following this factory worker, and you're also following this robot. And they have separate storylines, separate things that are happening to them, but you see like the tiny moments where their storylines intersect that seem like so insignificant to them, but end up having this like magnificent cumulative effect that just goes to show you that you don't know how your life is going to affect the lives of others around you, even if it's someone you like barely pass by on the street. So the real beautiful part about this book is the world building that was done to create this setting for these characters to inhabit. It's really thorough. I actually had to read it like three different times because I kept feeling like there was more for me to discover, and there was, because like the first time I'm just like, okay, like here, where's the plot, what's going on? And then the second time I go back and actually like look at all the backgrounds, and I see further and further hints that basically the world that these two characters inhabit is run by this really omnipresent corporation that seems to have merged with the government. So it's kind of like this oppressive overarching state. And this factory worker is trying to build something, and the robot is just trying to survive. And through like just what happens to them, you really get a sense, you really feel for them. Like this little robot has like, he's like this little short guy. It's like very, very clean lines in this story. It's black and white. This little robot just has like one singular eye. And just through like the expressions, like through this eyeball, you get such a sense of the underlying, dare I say, humanity of this robot. Wow. And like by the time I got to the end of the book, I like wanted to read nothing else. I was like, I just wanted to like reach through the page and like hug everyone and like wanted to know more. But at the same time, I felt like the place that it ended was a really good place. And it's been a while since I've encountered a story that's tugged on that very specific melancholic heartstring of mine. So this is
what's the book called again?
Heaven All Day.
Heaven All Day.
Absolutely elegant, gorgeous, quiet read. Doesn't take you very long, but sticks with you.
Yeah, now that you said there's no dialogue, I might need to hop into this.
Yeah.
See what's what.
I think you'll like it. I think you'll get to the end and you'll be like, why?
let's see. I read something darker. Less love in this book. Witchfinder, City of the Dead from Dark Horse Comics. And this series follows Sir Edwin Gray. And it I don't know if it would technically exist in the Mignola-verse, like the Hellboy universe, but it's got that vibe of a Hellboy kind of book. And Sir Edwin...
more sinister universe.
Definitely more sinister. Sir Edwin Gray has been knighted because he saved Queen Victoria in a previous... I'm not sure if it ever took place in the comics, but that's why he's knighted. And his job is essentially tracking down the occult in London in that era. And the story is by Mike Mignola and Chris Roberson of iZombie fame, obviously. And the art is by Ben Stenbeck, who did one of my favorite books, Baltimore, from Dark Horse. So it was great to see him on this book. I love his art. And this is a first issue. And it's a first issue of this arc, so it's a number one, but it's like 17 in a series of Witchfinder comics. So that, I always loved how Dark Horse numbers their books. It might be a number one, but they still retain, you know, a larger numbering system for those nerds like myself. And he has kind of a like a cast of characters that works in a morgue for him that kind of helps him do some detective work into the occult, and they uncover someone who was doing grave robbing, and he says that while doing the grave robbing, the person he was robbing from bit him, and that's how he died.
Ooh.
So Sir Edwin Gray is kind of like PO'd that he got called in for this case. He's like, what does this have to do with me? This guy is dead, and he probably made it up, and he bit himself to freak us out. And then the guy wakes up from the operating table from the dead, and they set on their adventure. So it's a great Dark Horse series, and I always love these kind of slow-paced, maybe not slow-paced, but methodical in their storytelling. It feels like a drama with bits and pieces of sci-fi mixed in. So that's my pick of the week.
Nice.
Read it or else. My patented threat. What else you got?
Astral. A-S-T-R-A-L. Mm. Astral is from the creative team of Alex Chung, Louis Joyce, and Troy Pettieri, and it is about these two... I was about to say star-crossed lovers, and then I realized that that was both inaccurate and cliched. So there's this large intergalactic war happening, and...
Saga.
Well, it's a very specific story. It's a one-shot. Again, only like 30 pages. And the two main characters are... they're in essentially a long-distance relationship, which is extra long-distance because, you know, one of them might be on the other side of the galaxy fighting this war for like half a year at a time. So... you're seeing how they're coping with that at the beginning of the story, and the answer is not great. And you're seeing you realize as the story goes on that there's extra layers to this intergalactic conflict that are really affected by the relationship that these two characters have with one another. And this is kind of interesting because this was kind of from the point of view of the guy in the relationship who is the prince of this planet that's at war. So his dad is the king, and the king's like, well, you have to stay here, and your girlfriend is the captain of the guard or whatever, so she has to go and fight this war. And since you're mostly seeing what this prince is thinking and like how he's reacting to things, and you're really following his story, you don't get as much of a sense of what the captain is feeling. But it wasn't totally one-sided. I just thought it was interesting that they focused on his character and his character coming to grips with the fact that he was going to be staying on this planet and that his girlfriend was going to be sent away, and he had to kind of deal with that as opposed to like getting mad at her because this thing out of their both of their control is happening. So it was some pretty decent character work in such a short span of pages, and I absolutely love the resolution that they get to at the end that really? I'm not going to spoil, but it was just like the last page is like this beautiful spread of what the resolution is. And I was just like, ah, I feel like I'm making a lot of like random noises today to describe how I feel. But like, I don't know how to with my voice illustrate the feeling of wanting to dive into a comic book page. So that's as close as I got.
Do they cosplay as Hogwarts students because it's the first day of term and that's the last double page spread of the book?
That would be terrifying if that level of synergy in my life was happening.
That would be frightening.
But yeah.
Last book I want to talk about before we get to our letter for this week, super briefly, X-Files. You ever watch X-Files?
I have not, actually, which I
get
know.
Out.
I know, get out. I know. So many people whose opinion I respect have told me that I will love it, and I believe them. I just I didn't grow up watching it, so that's the thing that I have to. Okay, all right, we're gonna. Okay, tell me about the comic.
The X-Files.
See you making faces at me, like.
I think IDW has the rights to X-Files comics, so they have a bunch out. And the last time I talked about X-Files, I think they did a almost Elseworlds X-Files where Mulder's sister survived and she became, you know, him trying to find the aliens.
Oh, yeah, I remember and you telling me about that.
This series, X-Files Origins, is them when they're kids, and it follows what they're doing. So it follows, they're not like, they don't know each other, obviously, but it's like what they did as kids to form their, you know, opinions of the afterlife and science. And in the case of Dana,
oh nice.
The first, it's like two halves of a book. So the first half is Mulder, kind of 8 months after his sister was abducted under strange circumstances, and he and his friends, go to essentially look for UFOs on the beach. But they find something else, and they get mixed into some kind of trouble. And the Dana storyline is one of her teachers is murdered in his front lawn, and she's upset that the police aren't looking into it as much as she would want them to. And this was like her favorite teacher. And so her father is in it, who is, you know, was in the, for those that have watched the show, was heavily in the military dad. So they move from base to base. And she decides to take it upon herself to almost essentially solve the murder of her teacher.
Wow.
So I thought it was a very fascinating concept for a comic book. And I thought it could really maybe fail in the hands of the wrong creators. But I actually really enjoyed the first issue. So I think I'm going to stick with it.
Cool.
Shall we get into the letter segment?
Oh, yes.
Kara. Okay, Zam. Yes. All right, let's see what we got here. Mikey P., subject line, Dream Team. I'm not sure if he's talking about us, but we'll continue with the letter.
Mm-hmm.
K Slim. Is there a writer-artist pairing you wish would work on a book together that hasn't yet? And that comes from Mikey P. K Zam.
I basically, since I first discovered Heathen and first discovered Grindhouse, it has been like my dream thought that Alex DeCampi and Natasha Alterisi would be able to just go crazy on the Wonder Woman books at DC. Like, that's all I want in this world, and I know it will never happen, but I can dream.
I feel like that is, does the Wonder Woman Weekly still happen? The Sensation Comics one?
I don't think so.
Do you know if that's... I was going to say that could be a really cool opportunity for that to happen.
Well, Alex DeCampi did write a Wonder Woman story for that, and it was like the most perfect on-point Wonder Woman story that I had ever read, and it was only for like an issue, and I just got to the end of it and I was like, why don't they give her this character all the time?
So. Yeah, I remember that a few panels blew up Tumblr. I remember seeing that, having a lot of notes.
Oh yeah.
I my pick would be a team that actually is already working together, so I'm going to flip this around and say that I've tweeted about this before, but I would love to see Mark Waid and Chris Somney on an Indiana Jones comic book.
Yes.
That's my dream.
That's a beautiful dream.
That's my dream thoughts right there, laid bare for you. So I don't know if it'll ever happen. Who knows where the IDW or who knows where the rights to Indiana Jones comics?
They
reside,
were a dark horse for a while, I think.
I would pay handsomely. Really?
Yeah, I think Marvel had them for a while, and Dark Horse had them for a while, and I don't know where they are now. Maybe
let's make some calls.
Yeah,
you work the phones. I'll work the letters.
Who works the phones
letters.
Anymore? Let's get our smoke signals and carrier pigeons out.
What a show. Oh, last thing I do want to mention, maybe we'll talk about it more in depth. We just announced our upcoming September slate for books that are coming into Comixology Unlimited, our monthly service for thousands of books for about $5 a month, and you have access to all those books in there. So I'll get to my favorite one in a second, obviously, but Hellboy and the BPRD 1946, this year's most unexpected crossover, Archie Meets Kiss, Matt Wagner's Grendel. And then, let's see, there was a few other ones that I specifically wanted to call out. The Meta Barons, Red Sonja, Strange Fruit 1 and 2 by Mark Waid. I didn't realize that was going in. That's pretty cool. Baltimore, a book I talked about earlier in this episode, is actually leaving the program. So if you want to read Baltimore, you better
do it today.
Black River from Fantagraphics by Josh Simmons is one of my favorite books of the last year. And it is a black and white, post-apocalyptic, depressing, beautiful book. I don't know. It's very strange how to describe it. I did it for a podcast I do with my friends, but it really shocked me. I think I really didn't like it for the first half of the book. And then it totally changed my opinion as I finished it. I don't think I've ever had a book do that before. But Black River, so as of September 6th, will be in CU. So if you sign up for the program or already a member, you'll be able to read that on September 6th.
Nice.
Highest recommendation. And then, of course, Fear Agent Volume 1 is entering CU. I don't know if I need to talk about my favorite book of all time, but September 6th, maybe we'll talk about it some more next week.
Pays for itself then.
I mean, you'd be a fool not to sign up for CU.
Just read Fear
Agent. Don't quote me on that. Great show.
Yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you enjoy your comics.
Goodbye.